Good morning, Northwest. Let's try that again. Good morning, Northwest. Good morning. It is another day that we have been blessed to come and worship, praise, serve, and just glorify our God. I thank the praise team for the music this morning. It was uplifting, but it was so true, talking about the love of God. And this morning, I just want to share a passage of scripture. It's a familiar verse. And I'm thankful for God allowing me another opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk to share some nuggets from this verse. It's found in John chapter 3. And I'll be reading just one verse this morning, and that's verse 16. And the verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this time to hear from you. God, I ask that you increase as I decrease. I surrender my will to your will. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let them, Lord, be acceptable in thy sight, that you will be glorified, your people edified, that your word will plant seed and grow, that it may nourish our souls, that we may be vessels for your service. We thank you for this day, and we thank you, God, for your Son Christ, who you showed through his sacrifice your love. We pray this prayer in the matchless and magnificent name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. As we celebrate Valentine's Day, and I wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day this morning. Today, many of us will shower our wives, our husbands, and significant others with lavish gifts. Flowers, candy, wonderful meals, and cards that express our love and affection. Because every living creature looks for, responds to, and needs to know that they are loved. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank God for the love of my life, my wife, Karen. 20 years ago, he blessed me with her. And she has been just what the scripture has said, a helpmate. She encourages, she prays for, and she stands by me in ministry, in life. And I publicly, as I often do privately, say I love you and I thank God for you. As we explore this passage of scripture, John 3:16, I'm reminded of a story I once heard. It was about a mother as she was preparing dinner one night. Her little boy came into the kitchen, and he came in up behind her, and he stood and he watched his mother as she was cooking. And he said, "Mommy, how much do you love me?" And she turned around and she looked into his eyes and she smiled. And then she stretched out her arms as wide as she could. And she said, "This much." Well, the little boy gave a big smile and he laughed, because to him, his mother's love was bigger than big. I mean, he felt completely covered by his mother's love, because he knew he could trust her love. Well, just like this little boy, at some point in our lives, we all have asked God that same question. How much do you love me? And for some of us, we've even said, how can you love me? And as a matter of fact, I've heard the latter question stated by many people. Because for some, they feel that no one could ever love someone like them. You know, you probably met some people like that who just feel that they're just unlovable. Some of the things that they may have done, some of the paths that they may have taken that were not right for them, good for others, and especially not good for God. But I want to say to that person, if you're here today, this morning, I want you to understand one thing, and I want you to listen very closely, that no one, and I mean no one, is beyond the reach of God's love. See, God's love is not motionless. It's not emotionless. Nor is it self-centered. His love is alive. His love reaches out and it draws in. There's a scripture found in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 that says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. See, it's by his grace that you and I are saved. And that's a good thing. So this morning's text brings four words into focus. For it says, for God so loved. And that's the very essence of who God is. I mean, his nature is seen in these four words. Because God is love. As a matter of fact, y'all, he sets the example of what true love really is. I mean, in other words, if I could just sum it up in one word, God's love is amazing. So just for a few moments, I want to talk from the text, the amazing love, God's amazing love. So someone this morning may be even asking a question, and I kind of heard somebody say something from over here. I don't know who it was, but let me help you out. You may want to know what's so amazing about God's love. I mean, what makes his love so special? Well, y'all know me. I'm glad you asked. Because, see, God's love isn't like our love. We have that faucet kind of love. We can turn it on. And if you upset us, we can turn it off. And so God's love isn't like our love. As a matter of fact, in the NIV translation, the word love is mentioned approximately 508 times throughout the Bible. And John's gospel alone is mentioned 57 times. So what leads me to believe that the word of God is really talking about God's love. It's a book of love. So when we look at the text, we first see in verse 16, the A part, the object of God's love. See, the text says, for God so loved the world. Well, that, in one thing, it's saying God's love is unmerited. See, there was nothing in the world that made it so attractive or deserving of God's love. See, we couldn't do anything to bring God's love to us. But we were still the object of his love. He cared about a fallen human race. See, God's love for the world was so great that he loved us even in our disobedience and sin. It was through the magnitude of his love, not what we could do for him, but what he could do for us, that was displayed in this text. Jeremiah 31 in verse 3 says this way, "The Lord appeared in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness." So, what is amazing, so amazing about God's love, is that he loved the whole world. He didn't love just part of it, but he loved all of it. Not just some people, but all people. So, in essence, that means he loved you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know you somewhere in here. You're kind of wondering about that this morning. God loved you. Even in all your mess, he loved you. See, what he wanted to do and what he wants to do is take hold of you. He wants to take hold of me. He wants to take hold of a sin-sick world and wrap it in the embrace of his loving arms. I'm reminded of a story that's found in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Time won't allow me to read it, but I will just give you some points from it. It's a story about a father-son relationship. The story begins with a son who comes to his father. He had reached a certain age, and he comes to his dad, and he says, "Dad, I know that you know raised me right. I know that I grew up in a good home, but I'm ready to spread my wings. So I just want you to give me what's owed to me. Give me my inheritance so I can go out into the world." Reluctantly, the father honors his son's request. So the son goes out in the world, and as many young people do, he got away from home, and he got a little while, he got in the party stage. So he decided that, you know, he was free, he didn't have to abide by no rules. I can stay up as late as I want to. I can go where I want to. I don't got nobody to answer to. But the Bible says he got caught up into riotous living, which he just got wild. And he had done so long till he found himself in a situation that he didn't know how he would get out of. The story goes on and says he found himself in a place that no human would ever even imagine that they would be in. He found himself in a pig pen. Now, you have to understand the essence of this story, because he grew up in a Jewish home. And the very thought that he would find himself in that place was a disgrace for him as a Jewish male. So as he continued to be in that state, the scripture says that there was some point where he came to himself. In other words, the way we say it today, he got some sense, y'all. He began to understand that I don't have to really live like this. My father got enough and plenty. I mean, I got a good home. I'm just going to go back home. And while he rehearsed what he was going to say to his dad, and you know how kids, when they mess up and they have to come back to mom and dad, they start thinking on how they're going to explain the stuff they did. And so, "Mama, daddy, I messed up. You know, I didn't do this. I want to say I'm sorry." Well, the scripture says he was rehearsing his story, what he was going to tell his dad. Basically, "You know, Dad, I know I'm not even worthy to be your son. So, you know, I just work for you like one of the servants." But his dad never stopped watching for his son. He continued to look for him. And I can imagine him standing out every morning looking in the distance to see if he would see an image of his son coming. And one day, he stepped out and he looked and he saw in the distance someone walking. And as he continued to get closer, he realized it was a silhouette of his son coming down the road. The scripture says that he ran to meet his son. And when he got to him, he embraced him and kissed him. Now, his son didn't have time to clean up. He didn't have time to stop by the Gap or stop by Banana Republic or stop by, you know, Bacharach to get him a nice set of clothes so he could present himself to his dad. He came in the state that he was in. He came directly from the pig pen. So you can imagine that he wasn't looking too good and not smelling that great either. But his father embraced him, kissed him. And while he's trying to tell his dad his story, he's not even listening. He's saying to his servants, come, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him. For my son is home now. He was gone, but now he's home. He was dead, but now he's alive. And so that's how the relationship is with God. That's how his love is for us. Even in all the stuff that we may find ourselves in, even in the state that we may get in that may be devastating, God still wants to wrap his arms around us like this father. Put his spirit in us, his ring. Kiss us with his love and restore us back to his family. That's how much God loves you and I. That's how amazing his love is. And I'm just thankful that I serve a God who has a love like that. So not only do we see the object of God's love, that his love is unmerited, but in the B clause of verse 16, we also see the sacrificial gift of his love, which means God's love is unselfish. The text says that he gave his one and only son. Now, I read something somewhere that said the depth of one's love is measured in the gifts it presents and the sacrifice it makes. So how amazing is God's love for us? Well, it's demonstrated in the fact that he gave his son. Think about it. Jesus, his one and only son. John 1 and 14 says, the word became flesh and was made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what does that mean for you and I? That means that God gave us his best. Jesus, one of the Trinity. Jesus, his equal. Jesus, the love of his life. Jesus, his delight. See, Jesus was the gift that God never gave before, and he was the gift that he will never give again. So you and I must realize, we've got to understand that God really wasn't under no obligation to step in. He wasn't under no necessity to do anything. Actually, God could have left us in the state that we were in. He could have let us stay in the mess we were in. But because God's nature is love, it was through his compassion that he decided to give his son. Jesus was the example of God's great love for the world. Jesus came as our messenger of peace, but he was God's sacrificial lamb. He was chosen to take on the sins of the world, so to be our salvation. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in actuality, church, giving his son was the way to bring about his purpose of grace and the reality for us, his salvation. There's a song, a hymn that we sing every once in a while that I really love. I love this song. And, you know, I'm a singer. So you all bear with me for just a moment. I said the words this morning, but it's in my spirit to sing the words this morning. And it says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now safe am I, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, it was love that lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. So in reality, no man could redeem man. It was through the love that God had for us. Because, see, the first Adam, through his sin, all mankind, everyone, became eternally separated from the Father. So it took the blood of one who knew no sin, the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus came to restore and redeem. He didn't come to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So Jesus, dying on the cross, paid our sin debt and satisfied the judgment of God. See, he made a way for you and I to be restored to right relationship with God. So John 3:16 reminds us on how much God did for us through his love. Not only did he make us the object of his love, not only did he give us his sacrificial gift of his love, but in the C clause of verse 16, we see the blessings of his love. The text says, whosoever believes in him. So that means that God's love is all inclusive. So you don't have to be anybody special. You don't have to do anything that's really great. God made it really simple for us, y'all. The only thing you've got to do is just believe. And belief is very simple. As a matter of fact, all of us exercised and demonstrated belief this morning. Somebody may say, well, how do we do that? Well, including myself, I watched as people came into the sanctuary. Everyone had selected a seat, the place and area they would like to sit. But I didn't notice anyone kneel down and check under the seat to make sure all the screws were in place. I didn't check and see anyone shaking the chairs to make sure they were sturdy enough to hold their weight. No, everybody just walked in without a care or concern and just sat down. Well, that's how belief is with Jesus Christ. It's real simple. See, all you have to do is just say yes. See, believing in Christ is so easy. It's just saying that we have put our trust, our confidence in him alone. We're saying that we know that Jesus is the only one who can save us. So when the scripture says whosoever believes in him, that includes everybody. See, all of us fall under that one word, whosoever. Because at one point, we were all a whosoever. Out in the world, doing whatever we want to do. But the cry of the Father, the call of the Savior, touched our hearts one day. And we became from the whosoever to all-whoever, who all-ever, which means we all belong to Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Someone today feels their sins are too great. They have done too much. And there's no possible way that they could even come to Christ. But I want you to know today, if you are here, that there's no sin so great that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. So all you have to do today is just believe. Believe in his words and rely on him to change your life. See, he has done great things in the scripture, and he has changed so many lives. But there's one life that I always love, and that's the life of Paul. Now, Paul couldn't be here this morning, so I kind of texted him, and I said, "Paul, is it okay if I tell your story?" He texted me back kind of late, though, you know, right before I went up. I was like, "Man, you're kind of slow, dude." But he texted me and said, "Yeah, go ahead and tell my story." I said, "Okay. I'm going to tell you a story." Paul was a man who was really tenacious. He was really serious about his beliefs. He was a Jew among Jews. He was so strong into the Jewish religion and Jewish faith that he believed that anyone who came up against it had to be stopped. So he started hearing about this group of people who were following this man named Jesus. And he was like, "No, this is not going down in my town, not on my watch." So he decided he was going to do something about it. And scripture says that he would go into towns and just wreak havoc. He would pull people out of their homes and drag them to prison, all because they were proclaiming this man, Jesus, everything that he knew was going against all that he believed. So one day he got his crew together, his posse. He said, "We're going to go to Damascus. I hear some people down there that's talking about this man. We're going to have to stop him." So he's on his way. And while he's traveling, he said that a great light shone from heaven. It was so bright that it knocked him to his knees. And then the next thing that happened was he heard this voice call out to him saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, man? Why are you messing with me?" He's like, "Who are you?" He's like, "I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting." Yes, I'm Jesus. Paul said that when he kind of got himself together, he realized he couldn't see, so they had to, those that were with him had to take him to this man named Ananias. He had to kind of go and meet with him. And in the process, he gave his life to Christ. In the process, he began to understand all about this man named Jesus. So what Paul told me, he said, "Man," he said, "you know, I can't believe what he did. He changed my life. You know, I went from being a church persecutor to a preacher. I started proclaiming the very gospel that I was fighting against." He said, "But you know what? It got me so tough till I had to even put it in the scriptures, in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. And so I looked it up, and I liked the way the Message translation put it. It said, "Here's a word you can take to heart and depend on." This is Paul talking. "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." I'm proof. Public sinner number one. Of someone who could never have made it apart if it hadn't been just for sheer mercy. Now, look what he does. He shows me off. See, I'm evidence of his endless patience. and especially to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. See, Paul understood that he was one of the whosoever. So I encourage you today, just like Paul, God can change your life if you just trust him. Let him love you because that's what he came for. But not only did he show us that we were the object of his love, not only did he show us that he gave us his sacrificial gift of his love, not only did he show us the blessings of his love, but he shows us in the last part of this verse the purpose of his love. It says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, God's love is unending. I heard Krista say something this morning, that it lasts forever. And I don't know who wouldn't want an everlasting love. Just think about it. A love that goes on forever. That means it never ends. Regardless of where we are in our lives, God's love never ends. That means whatever you do, God loves you. His love never ends. No matter who you are today, God's love never ends. I was talking to a friend of mine. I went back home to Detroit to visit. And he and I grew up together. And when we were growing up, his name is Curtis. He was a tough kid. I shared this once before. I had two guys that liked me a lot. Curtis was one, and Chip was the other one. They liked me so much that they made sure that they beat me up every day. So one day I figured I'd ask Curtis to come to church with me. I was figuring you really need to know something about God. Because, man, you know, I can't take no more of this. So I said, Curtis, why don't you go to Bible study with me? And I figured he'd probably say, nah, I ain't going to do that. But he did. He went to Bible study. And he liked it. He said, yeah, man, I can kind of get into this Bible stuff. I said, okay, good. I'm glad, man. Woo, I'm glad. So he came to Bible study with us, and he continued to come. And it was a point where he wasn't able to continue. They had moved. And so I ran into him when I went to visit Detroit. And I was really glad to see him. And he told me, he got to talking about how good God was. And he said, you know, man, he said, you know, I remember how I was when I was growing up. And you know, when you used to take me to Bible study and stuff? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, well, when we moved, I found a church, and I started going to that church, and, you know, the preacher started talking about how much God cared and loved me, and I never really thought about how much he really did, you know, and so one day I just decided to just go ahead and take a chance, and he gave his life to Christ. Well, he told me, he said, you know, I said, well, what are you doing now? He said, God called me into ministry. I'm preaching now. And I thought about how God pursued him, how God chose not to give up on him. Because what if he had not heard the word? What if he had not heard how much God loved him? Look at what could have happened to his life. But because he was there and heard how much the Lord loved him, he became whom God called him to be. And that was a proclaimer of the gospel. And it's so true that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because when you accept Jesus Christ, you not only receive his unending love, but you receive his eternal salvation. See, some people believe that, and I've heard it said, when you're dead, you're dead. But that's not true. Scripture says, after death, the judgment. Which means, really, our life is just a comma in the life of eternity. And so I encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you only have today, because tomorrow is not promised. You just have right now. But you can receive this new life. It just takes just one little thing, just faith. See, all you have to do is just believe, and you will begin to see things with an eternal perspective. See, Jesus promised through his death, his burial, and resurrection that whoever believes in him will never die. That means that you will live forever. Now, you have a choice. You either will live eternally in heaven with God or be eternally separated from him. And God has given you through John 3:16 and showing you that he came specifically for you to live eternally with him. Today, we are celebrating Valentine's Day, the day of love. And I can't think of no better way to focus on than the amazing love that God had for us. Oh, how he loves you and me. Just think about it. Think about the greatest love that anybody could ever give to you. The Bible says no greater love is this than a man lay down his life for a friend. I spoke with a member this morning, and she shared something with me. She said, I have a plaque at home that says, God, how much do you love me? And the answer was, he stretched out his arms and died for me. That's how much he loves you. I don't know who's here this morning, but you may be struggling today. You may feel like you have been left out. You may feel that nobody could ever love you. You may feel that you are just unlovable. But God loves you just as you are. I encourage you today, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, please, please give him a chance. All you have to do is just say yes. Just believe in him. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. See, because with him, there's joy, unspeakable joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. How many people love the fact that God loves them that much? I mean, how many? Could you ever imagine somebody loving you that much? That they would give their life for you? See, Jesus didn't have to do it. He did nothing wrong. He took our sins, the weight of our sins upon his shoulders. He sacrificed himself for us. He loves us that much. And when I think about how much he loves us, it blows my mind. When I think about him dying on the cross, bleeding and suffering for you and I, having nails put into his hands and his feet riveted, being pierced in the side, all because of love. That's something I wouldn't want to ever forget. That's something that I want to embrace. I encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, give him your life. He loves you. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for a friend. He calls us his friend. Church, God gave his life for us. And we who have believed in him, we thank God for you. Because you are the example of that love. That embracing love. That covering love. And I'm trying so hard to stop talking, but the Spirit has me. Somebody needs to know that God loves you this morning. Somebody here is beat down and feel that they are not loved. And I've got to get this through to you today. That God loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. He wants you to know that this morning. Beyond anything else, when you walk out this building, you got to know that he loves you. Regardless of what you have done in your life, he loves you. He cares for you. He came for you. If you were the only person in this world, he still would have came and died on the cross just for you. John 3:16 tells us that. It is the example of God's love. There's going to be a time of response. If you are here this morning and you have not given Christ your life, I encourage you today. Step out on faith and believe. I guarantee you it will be the best move you've ever made in your life. There may be someone here who's been hurt in the church. And we're not a perfect church. We're not a perfect people. But we serve a perfect God. And sometimes in our humanness, we do things that hurt somebody. And you might be here today and you say, I've been hurt. And it's hard for me to come back. But God has got his arms stretched out for you today. No one is beyond the reach of God's love. He is encouraging you today to come back and give him a chance. Let me embrace you and cover you in my love. And we today who have been in the church for a long time, been in the church and serving God, we may sometimes feel that God is not with us. We may feel that God is not loving us. I encourage you today to let him continue to show you his love because he cares for you. He wants you to know how much he loves you. So if you don't know Christ, give him a chance today. Believe in him. If you strayed away and you want to come back, God is still saying, here I am. Just come to me. And if you've been part of the family of God and you feel down today because you feel like on this Valentine's Day, I don't have anybody who really loves me, God loves you with an everlasting love. So as we have this time of response, if you want to be prayed for, I'm here. We're here. If you have a prayer concern, if you want to give your life to Christ, we're here. And we'd be so happy to tell you and let you know how you can receive Christ as your Savior. But for all the rest of us today, let us reflect on this passage, how much God did for us. And how much he wants to continue to do for us through his love. Let us respond at this time.